He wanted to let you know that they were in Tango One, which is a basically a Christian part of the Belize National Prison. Said by the third day, the people were wrapped around them, around the love of God. They were reaching out, and they changed. And as I talked to him, I saw that those days down there, they'll never forget it. It'll ignite that spirit she was singing about into their lives. And by the last day, well, the team had decided that they wanted to go out and buy food. They got permission from the prison to bring in a feast to that part of the prison. And they even not only had physical food, but they had spiritual food. They had communion with them. And God just blessed it. He said, "Oh, Joe, we got to come back every year here. We've got to do it every year." And he did say that he talked to Cindy last night. So it wasn't just me, Cindy. But... And in addition to that, Jody, he's upstairs, said they went fishing. And they filled Jeff Nickel, our missionary's freezer, enough for 6 months. And he was calling me from Key Cocker this morning. And they had been there with some of our friends that we've worked with through the years. And Patrick said the rest of them wanted to sleep late, said I went swimming. So he's got salt water all over him this morning. But he's excited. They'll be home tonight. They have to leave at 1 today to take a boat back to the shore, and I hope the motor doesn't go out. They'll miss their flight. But anyway, we're so thankful we could send people out, and Susan and Patricia left earlier to go to Rusk, to a women's prison today, and so we're reaching out for those fish that Jody was talking about, that we might be able to tell people that there's hope in Jesus, and we just want to continue that theme this morning and let you know that none of this has happened because of our skills, because of our good works, because of our great ideas. That, yes, skills are important. I recognized Kimberly's skills when she was 17 years old down in Mexico when I met her for the first time. But that wasn't just skill in a voice. That was the Spirit of God upon her. And we as a church body, we cannot do anything without the Spirit resting upon us. And anything good that's happened, you here this morning that have given the Lord your heart, it wasn't your idea. Brother Victor just was weeping this morning as he told me about trying to win a relative to the Lord. And he was just so closed-minded. He had no desire. He's on his deathbed and yet will still not open up. You see, it takes the Holy Spirit to take that blindness off, to lead us to being born again. It's by the Spirit. It's not just something you say a few words and you join a church. But it's that which we are able to let the Holy Spirit into our lives, and He transforms us. And this is a spiritual journey. Went to a funeral this week, and a relative. And it was told once again that this person here is just a tent. We're going to bury that today. But the real person is with the Lord. You see, the soul and the spirit will never die. It'll go to face judgment either in one place or the other. And so we recognize today that it's by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, God the Son. And the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Helper, the Paraclete, the one that goes beside us all the way. One time, someone said, "Well, do you believe that you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven?" Well, you know, we can talk about that. This lady said, "I don't even want to go to the grocery store without the Holy Spirit." You see, we need the Spirit of God in our lives. Do you know when you have the anointing? Do you know when someone up here has the anointing? Do you know that the difference? Do you know when you don't have the anointing? You see, the anointing is not just in the loudness. It's not just in being able to shake. It can produce that sometimes. It's not in a physical evidence form, but the anointing is an evidence of the power and the presence of the Lord. If this service is now anointed this morning, we're going to know that the presence and the power of the Lord have been with us today. The anointing that we need for this vision that that we've been presenting to you, this demonstration of the Spirit of God, this demonstration of the Lord in our midst, if we're going to have that anointing, it's going to have to be the anointing that was upon Jesus, imparted to us as His children, baptized unto us, that we may be able to impart it to this world that is in need. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 5. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, Jesus said this. He repeated it in Luke 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and this was through Isaiah, because the Lord has anointed me, there it is again, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You see, we say we want to find a hurt and heal it. We want to see a need and meet it. There's people that are brokenhearted. It's an emotional damage in their lives that only Jesus can provide the healing for. It is that depression that needs to be turned into joy. It is that prison that needs to be turned into praise. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever been healed of your broken heart? Do you know what the scripture is talking about? Have you ever had a healing in your emotions? To heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. We sang this morning, I'm free. I'm free to run. I'm free to dance. I'm free to shout. I'm free to preach. I'm free to live for Him. I'm free to proclaim liberty to the captives, to opening of the prison to those who are bound. And we've been in prison ministry now and reaching troubled and addicted people, Charlotte and I, for 41 years. And we have seen people literally freed from the physical prison. It's a joy to receive a new brother. It's a joy to be at Huntsville, Texas, and to be waiting outside. And all of a sudden, you see some people coming out that aren't guards and they're not visitors. You know the difference because they got crazy clothes on. They put anything on them. They get them at Goodwill or whatever to put on them, you know, as they come out. But I've literally seen that release take place. But the greatest release that I've seen is when it's not that physical walking out of the Walsh unit of the Texas State Prison, but it is people that have been set free from their habits, from their addictions, from their sinful living, because they have found that Jesus is the deliverer. To set at liberty those that are bound, to open the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. It's the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer today and you have had an experience with grief, you know that it's only the Holy Spirit that can be your comforter. When I was just turning 13, I just had my 13th birthday 3 days before, my brother was killed in a car wreck while he was working to make his way through Southwestern Bible College in Waxahachie. And when we got that call at 5 o'clock that morning, my father wasn't at home. My mother got the call and I heard her and I jumped out of bed because I heard her say, "Oh no, is he dead?" And at that very moment, the gifts of the Spirit came in. My mother began to speak in tongues. She gave out a message in tongues, and she interpreted herself, saying, "My daughter, I will be with you. I will comfort you. I will help you." And though it was very, very difficult to go through a death like that, a tragedy in our home, it was the Holy Spirit that sustained us. Listen, folks, there's some things you'll never get over, but you'll get through them. You'll get through Him with the power and the help of the Lord, because He is our comforter and He comforts those who mourn, and He appoints those that mourn unto Zion, and the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that we may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. And then it says, they shall rebuild the old ruins. You know, that's what God is calling us to do around here. Ruined lives, destructive lives that are there. Last night I was at Lindale High School, and they were introducing these students, and a number of the students had said they were a part of SADD, and I didn't know what that was, you know, until I began to see it was SADD, and it was Students Against Destructive Decisions. I said, boy, I like that. You see, people around us have had sad experiences. They may not be students, but they've had destructive decisions. By the way, my granddaughter was elected queen last night. That's just okay. Anyway, Rebecca Foss. But we are around people that have had destroyed lives, and we are able to go in there and repair their ruined lives, their ruined cities. We are right here at an area of Tyler, North Tyler. We call it the North Gate of Tyler, where that we are able to make a difference in this whole end of town. I already know that we've made a difference in this corner. I've had people from the motels tell us this is an oasis in a desert for us. And we know that it is a place, a reception, a place where that Rayon can come for the first Sunday and he can feel like, I have a church. This is my family. I'm a member of a family. And we are able to repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Did you know that you can stop that curse that's been in every member of your family? Did you know that this can be a new generation where that you will start a whole new line of righteousness, of right living, of people that are doing things for the Lord instead of working in this destructive habit that is there, and that we are able to stop that curse of many generations. I want to kind of go through the Bible this morning and show you what the anointing has done to men of God. And to show you that as a man and woman of God, that's what it's going to take for you as well. It's what it's going to take for me. It's not going to take just skills to lead this church forward, our pastoral team. It's not going to take just good thinking and right meetings and church growth plans. It's not going to be that. It's going to take the anointing of God upon the individuals where that God's Spirit is poured out and that we are able to be a people of God anointed by the Holy Spirit. El Espíritu Santo. We need the Spirit. Now, it began in the very beginning, the second verse of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 2. It says, the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. He was there in creation. We wouldn't have any planet today if it had not been for the Spirit of God moving in creation. So he was there. He did that. You see, the anointing is, this is my definition, it's a divine visitation. The anointing of God is a divine visitation. And we'll start with Abraham. He was chosen by God to be the beginning of the Israelite community, God's special people. He was anointed by God. In verse 12 of Genesis, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. You see, folks, we are blessed to be a blessing. If you've been blessed today, you are blessed to be a blessing. And the commitment that you give to the Lord, the faithfulness in which you live will create blessings to follow you. You were blessed to be a blessing. But see, here is a divine visitation of God Himself, our first recording in the Scriptures, where that God spoke to Abraham and said, I will make you a great nation. It was an appearance, a divine visitation. Again, in chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, here is Abraham and Sarah. And the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth tree of Mamre as he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. Think about it. Just sitting there. Just sitting there. And all of a sudden, there's a divine visitation. Has he ever come to you? Maybe it's a song that you're hearing on the radio, and all of a sudden it comes to you. Maybe it's a message that was preached. I've had many, many people tell me they can't remember the message that was preached the night they got saved. But they just know that all of a sudden something was happening in their lives, and that they were sitting there at the door of their tent, and the Lord appeared unto them. There was a divine visitation, and he lifted his eyes. He looked, behold, three men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. And this is where that the promise was given that he would be able to have a child, and that God's promised child, Isaac, would be coming to him. And so it was an anointed time, an anointed place, right there at the door of his tent where he was. And then we'll find Jacob, the same situation in Genesis 28, that he was fleeing because he had deceived his brother Esau, and he was fleeing, and he went, and he had to lay down for the night, and God appeared to him. This divine visitation was through a dream. And in this dream, a ladder was set up from earth to heaven, and angels of God ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac, the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, from the north and the south. Hallelujah. Let's believe that. Let's believe that for Church of Living Hope. From the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. That not only will they come from there, but we'll go out to there. Send them, Lord. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Hallelujah. When we have the anointing upon our lives, we know that God is with us, and that He will not leave us, and He will not forsake us, and He will complete what He started. He said, until I have done what I have spoken to you. Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. You see, it was an anointing that came. It was a divine visitation that came. And so he was there. And then verse 32, chapter 32, verse 24, Jacob was left alone. Now, this was on his way back. This was after that he was coming back to be reconciled with his brother Esau. Now, that could be a scary thing. But you see, that's what God wants to do. You got unforgiveness in your life. You got unsettled business in your life. God wants to heal you, but you're going to have the grace to forgive, the power to forgive. And so there he was, not knowing how things would go. So he wrestles that night. Jacob left alone, a man, capital M, wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. The socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. I don't have a formula for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I really don't. I mean, the scripture said, ask and receive. It says that if a boy asks for a fish to his father, will he give him a rock? He said, so much more will I give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. But I know the night that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was desperate for the Lord. I was 6 years old. I was tired of these women spitting in my face and shaking my jaw. I went by myself, and I was desperate for the Lord. My mother thought that I had left the church. She found me between two benches over there at First Assembly of God in Henderson, Texas, at 6 years of age. But I plowed through and spoke in tongues for 2 hours as a six-year-old kid. He never left me. Oh, yes, I failed the Lord. But something about the Spirit of God, He just kept pounding on my door. And I was there at that time. But it's that desperation. I will not go until you bless me. I will not let go. I will not turn away. I will stay here, Pastor Philip, if I have to pray all night. I'm going to be here until I pray all night, until that Holy Spirit, that anointing comes upon me. We have a mission school at Calvary Commission, and we can teach people lots of things. We can even teach them how to preach. But the preaching will never have any effect unless, first of all, it is on your knees before the Lord receiving the anointing. The Chinese man We had a couple of Chinese guys here Wednesday night. Isn't that a blessing? From China. Yes. The Chinese man said, well, he couldn't speak English very good. He said, all I know is I get on my knees and I talkie, and I get up and I walkie. You see, that is the whole thing. We've got to receive that anointing on our knees before the Lord. There's got to be that desperation that I will not let you go until you bless me. In verse 27, he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you struggle with God and you have prevailed. You see, there is a way that we can press through the crowd that's all around us and touch the hem of his garment. We can press through the crowd till we meet Jesus, till we know him. Maybe you know someone else that knows Jesus. And you say, I wish I knew Jesus like they know Jesus. They actually get excited about Jesus. To me, it's just a name. I've used it in curse words before, and it's just a name. But I don't know why that they are so excited about it, and they just all the time have a joy on their face. I wish I was that way. Well, you see, you've got to say, I will not turn loose until I know the answer, until the peace of God that passes all understanding comes into my life, and I am able to say, yes, I have prevailed, and now I know in whom I believed. I'm persuaded that he is able to do whatever he has promised to do. He crossed over Peniel. The sun rose on him. Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Think about it. What was the anointing? It's the power and the presence of God. He saw him face to face. He was with the Lord. So we have that illustration, and now we'll move to Moses. Moses, as I had said earlier this morning, he was called to be a deliverer. And out of that cry that came up to heaven came God calling Moses to do a special work for him. Exodus 3, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. It was common, they tell me, for just the dryness to set bushes on fire and start a forest fire. But the difference was it didn't burn up. It was not consumed. And all of a sudden, God comes to Moses, and he turned aside to look. God spoke to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Hey, do you know he knows your name? Charlotte, Tim, Joe, Victor. You get me? He knows your name. He knows you. He knows you. He said, Moses, Moses. He said, here I am. You better answer him. Then he said, don't draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So it was an anointed place that was there. It was an anointing that was there because the power and the presence of the Lord was in that place. So that was the anointing that was there. Later on, the anointing showed up in a shining face on Moses because he had been with God. We started our coffee house in Tyler in 1970. We would witness to these hippies that came in. And one night before midnight, we had led this girl to the Lord. She left and we prayed with her and she went home. And like a good mother worried about her daughter out on the town, her mother was waiting for her. She walked in. Her mother took one look at her and said, what has happened to you? You see, it's that glory. It's that shining face that is there. It's that smile that was not there before. It's that countenance that is there. Why? Because of the anointing. Because you have been able to meet with God. And you've been able to prevail because of the power and the presence of the Lord. Verse 29, his face shone while he talked with him. Verse 30, when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. And so we find that even as Moses obeyed God, and finally Pharaoh delivers them, and they set out on their journey, that God showed them his anointing. And in chapter 13 of Exodus, verse 21, The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give light. I don't know in your own life what you feel is an evidence of God being with you, of the anointing. But to them, it was that cloud that was there. And the scriptures teach us that when God was ready for them to stop, the cloud stopped. And whenever it started, well, they began to shout throughout the camp, God is moving. God is moving. Look, God is moving. Let's move with Him. God is moving. And folks, we've got to do that. We've got to find out what God is doing and move with Him. The author of the Experiencing God book, Blackaby, says, find out what God is doing and adjust your lives to fit in with what God is doing. Find out where He's moving. You see, that was the glory cloud. That was the anointing cloud. That was the evidence that God was with them. They could sleep at night. They didn't have to be worried about the wild animals or the enemies around them because God was with them. That cloud was still there. That light at night was still there to guide them. It was moving forward, and they were able to have faith and to not fear because God was with them. It was an anointed journey. It was an anointed people that God had called together. Pillar of cloud to lead them by night. Pillar of fire to give them light at night. Pillar of cloud to lead them during the day. Day by night, day and night, He was with them. It says He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire from night from the people. It was an anointed journey. As Kimberly sang this morning, Zechariah 4:6, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We will be tempted to do it within our own might. We'll be tempted to try to fix the situation. We'll be tempted to try to fix somebody else's situation. We'll be tempted to try to bring people into the kingdom ourselves. At that same coffee house, one night we had the biggest drug person, violent person. By the way, it was a girl. And the guys were afraid of her. Her name was Scalper. But by morning, our witness came through and she gave her heart to the Lord. Now, she didn't know this scripture because she tried to do it in her own might. The next night, she was there out on the streets witnessing. You know, you need to wait a little bit and kind of get some training. She would grab the cigarette out of their mouth and put it on their wrist and burn them. And while they were screaming, she would tell them, you think that's hot, you're going to hell. And hell is going to be hotter than that. She was trying to do it in her own might. But it's the Holy Spirit, see, that we need. It's not manpower, woman power. It's not money power. It's God power. By His Spirit, says the Lord. So we move on and we find that the anointing that was on Moses, he was able to impart it to Aaron. The presence of the power of the Lord can be given through impartation at the altar of prayer. As we pray for each other, there can be an impartation that is there. Exodus chapter 28, verse 40, which basically is kind of where this message came from in my spirit where I began my study. Verse 40, it says, the Aaron's sons, you shall make tunics, you shall make sashes for them, and you shall make hats for them for glory and beauty. So you shall put them on Aaron, your brother, and on his sons with him. You shall anoint them, you shall consecrate them, sanctify them, that they may minister to me as priests. That's an Old Testament version. But New Testament teaches us that we're all priests. We're a kingdom of priests. And so we're all ministers that have been called of the Lord to come together and with the help of the Holy Spirit anointing to reach out and touch a world that is in need. Exodus 29. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, the robe of the ephod on the breastplate, and gird him with the intricately woven band of the ephod. Verse 6, you shall put the turban on his head, put the holy crown on the turban. And verse 7, and you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. Now, this is a symbol that we use here. And we put a little bit on our finger and we do like this. That's okay. That's what the New Testament teaches us to do. But that's not what they did when they anointed. I want to show you what it says here in verse 7. You should take the anointing oil and pour it on his head. You will pour it on his head. And it is more than just that little dab on your finger. It was a bucket full, you might say. It was poured on his head. And because it was poured on his head, there was it was there. It was wet. And it was there. As it says in Psalms 133 that it ran down Aaron's beard. So it was poured on his head to where it came down his face and came on his beard. Exodus 30. What was in the oil? Listen to it. Verse 23. You should take yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. You shall make from these a holy anointing oil and an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Not only was it wet, but it smelt. Look at those spices. Put all of those together. Take that and pour it on someone's head. Let it go down on their clothes. You're talking about room deodorant. When these guys were anointed and they walked through the community, everybody knew it. When if he was anointed, he went back home, his wife knew it. She was saying, something has happened to you. It wasn't just the shining face. It was the smell. I ask you today, how do you smell? How do you smell as a Christian? When you go into Walmart, I keep giving them commercials, Brookshire's, when you go in, then how do you smell? How do people know the difference? How do they know that there's hope within you? How do they know the difference? How do you smell? You see, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Pouring, outpouring. It's the outpouring. That's what we need every day in our lives, is that freshness, that anointing of the Holy Spirit. And my wife was an English teacher. I'm going to try this. I think I learned in school that a noun is the name of people, places, and things. Is that right? Okay. We're going to talk about the anointing on people. That's what we've been talking about. But also on places. In Exodus 40, it said, you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle. And all that is in it, you shall hallow it with all utensils. It shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of the burnt offering and all the utensils and consecrate the altar. The altar shall be most holy. A holy place. An anointed place. Cynthia Ramirez really believes that scripture, and she anointed everything in her house. And that was okay. It was her apartment. You know, she could paint it later. But we went down to Peru, and Valerie Rivera had just painted everything just like she wanted it. And all of a sudden, well, we're having a prayer meeting, and here goes Cynthia with her hand and put the big thing and left a spot on the wall. I said, Cynthia, she said, shh, 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 I won't do it anymore. By the way, she said she's preaching today, so pray for her. I heard from her this morning, too. But you see, it says that the tabernacle, the utensils, the altar, the places, the things were anointed. Do you believe that a place can be anointed? Melinda got a new car this week and we anointed it with oil. We want it to be an anointed car. We want it to be a blessing and not a burden. My mother told the story about how that it was in those days what they would call a tabernacle. It was a brush arbor. It was made out of sticks and brush and could put it up and have a meeting. They'd meet there, but before the service began, they knew they needed that anointing for that service. So they would have, over in this section of the woods, the women would go. Over this section of the woods, the men would go. And they would pray for an hour or so before the meeting started. My mother told me that there would be a time that the Holy Spirit would fall upon that, they call them grove meetings, fall upon that place. And people would be a little late, and they would try to walk out there. And as they got near it, they couldn't walk any further. They'd be falling on the floor, on the ground, in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because the place was anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Sluter was with Philip and I and Charlotte when we walked in this building the first time. And there was whiskey bottles. I mean, there was a dance floor here and a bar back there and a wet bar here. And I tell you, there is a vast difference. And it's not just because we have carpet and nice seats and paint. It's because that all of that went away. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit came up on this place. I believe it. I believe that when people walk in, it's not just because it's a church and they feel kind of weird. It's the presence of the Lord that is in this place. It's because there is an anointing here and we want to keep it here. We want to see that people, places, and things can have the anointing of the Lord. To Joshua, Numbers chapter 27. This was where that God was preparing for the next step. The Lord said, verse 18, chapter 27, 18, Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit. See, already recognized that the Spirit of God was upon this young man. And lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before the congregation. And New King James says, inaugurate him in their sight. Inaugurate him. Inauguration. A transfer of power. A transfer of title. A transfer of anointing. It didn't leave Moses, but he placed some of his authority on him so that all of the congregation of Israel would see it and be obedient. Verse chapter 27, verse 22. And then another version. Numbers 27, verse 23. They laid their hands on him and commissioned him. Anybody know why I like that word? They commissioned him. Just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. It was that transferring. It was that impartation of the anointing. It says that Joshua did not depart from the tabernacle. He wanted to stay close to where that anointing was. He wanted to stay near those others that had the anointing. He wanted to be there. We move on and we find that God chose David. And Samuel was trying to hear from the Lord. Said, go and anoint a new king for Israel. I've rejected Saul as king. Anoint a new king. And 1 Samuel 16, verse 11 through 13. Are all the young men here? Well, David's father said, there remains the youngest. He's out keeping the sheep. I've been told that that was the worst of things that could have been done. And they thought surely this kid would not be a king. So they didn't even bring him forth. Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him here. We will not sit down till he comes. When they brought him in, ruddy, bright eyes, good looking, the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Samuel took the horn of oil. There again, not a bottle. Horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. You see what I'm talking about today? It's that power and presence of the Lord that is with us. Later, even though David fell into sin, he repented of his sin. Anyone here this morning ever fallen into sin? You know what the Scripture says? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David confessed his sins. Si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel y justo para perdonarnos nuestros pecados, limpiarnos de toda maldad. That He is able to forgive us those sins. David confessed and God forgave. But you know what his prayer was in Psalm 51? Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take it. Don't take it away, Lord. Don't take it away. That's the only way that Goliath fell dead was through your spirit. The Holy Spirit took that little stone and put it right into that only spot, a hole right there that hit his head, and he came down. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Then we have Elijah and Elisha. Elijah just kind of appears out of nowhere, and God begins to use him. And then he told him to go and find Elisha. 1 Kings 19:16, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. So there was a transfer that was going on. 1 Kings 19:19, he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. You see, the Holy Spirit is a mantle. It's a mantle that we need in our lives. The anointing is a mantle. He threw his mantle upon him. And in verse 19, he departed from there. And he threw his mantle on him. And then in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, so it was when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. What would you answer if you were asked that? What can I give you before I'm taken away from you? What did Elisha say? Give me a double portion of your spirit. Have you said, that's enough, Lord? That's all I want? I've been saved. I know the scriptures. That's all I want. I don't need anything else. Elisha said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Twice as much, oh God. Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened as they continued on and talked. Chariot of fire comes, horses of fire, separates the two of them. Elijah went up into heaven. No funeral expense. God took him up. Elisha saw it. He cried out, my father, my father. The chariot of Israel, its horsemen, he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. Can you imagine that? Going up in a chariot, and all of a sudden he says, oh, there's one more thing I got to do. And he just lets it fall. I need to do that. I was kind of warm. He lets it fall, and Elisha catches it. He takes it. Then he goes up to the Jordan River. We were there last November. He goes to the Jordan River, and he takes the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. He struck the water with it. He just reached out, and that's Jody's fishing hole. He struck the water with it, and it parted. Where's the Lord God of Elijah? It was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. So he received. And scriptures teach us that he was able to have twice as many miracles in his ministry as Elijah had. How? Because he didn't say, that's enough, Lord. That's all I want. I want more. I'm hungry, Lord. I'm hungry for you. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can grieve away the Holy Spirit. You can resist the Holy Spirit. We need the fear of God in our lives that we would lose the anointing. We tend to be grace mongers where they just say, well, God will forgive me. God will forgive me. There may be a time that it's not. Let's go to the life of Samson. God chose him to be a deliverer. Gave him physical strength that was beyond his natural strength. Picking up the gate of a city and carrying it out. All of the things. And then the window opened for the enemy to come in the form of a girl, a lady, a woman. And she began to entice him to give her the secret of his strength. After several efforts, he got a little close when he said, "Tie up the locks of my hair." You see, that's what the enemy tries to do. If we give the enemy a toehold, it'll become a foothold, it'll become a stronghold. Finally, he tells her, "Cut my hair off." Here's Samson waking up. The Philistines are coming. And he thought, "Well, I'll just get up as usual and I'll just defend myself. I'll just knock them to smithereens." That's an East Texas word. He had no strength left. You see, he lost the anointing. They punched out his eyes, and later on, as he was nearing a time, they were going to make a sport of him at a big celebration where that they had all of the Philistines together, all of the lords and the position people were there. And he asked a little boy, "Would you lead me up to the two pillars of the temple, of the building?" His hair had begun to grow. They didn't know that because he was just an old convict, blinded man that they were going to make sport of. But God was with him. And all of a sudden, the strength came back. And he destroyed more people in his death than he did during his lifetime. So we can lose the anointing, but we can get it back through the mercy and power and grace of the Lord. I still feel prophetically I have a word from the Lord that as times get harder in our country, people that have been at these altars or other church altars that have fallen away and they've lost that power, they've lost that anointing, that they are going to recognize, "Wait a minute, I think I better wake up. Something's happening. I read about this in the Bible. I believe I better get right with God." And that all of a sudden, in the midst of a church service, the door is going to open and people are going to run to the altar in repentance, because God will take them back if they'll repent. If they'll turn away from their wicked ways and they will come back to the Lord, He will give them that power and that anointing once again. Romans 13, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fill its lust thereof." It says, let us awake out of sleep. Let us awake out of sleep. I ask you this morning, Randy, would you come? Have you been sleeping? Have you allowed the window of enemy activity to come into your life to where that no longer do you have that freshness of God's Spirit that you once did? Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never even known how it was to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You've never really received the gift of salvation in your life. You've never allowed the Holy Spirit to move on you. Well, maybe this morning, if you're kind of just feeling a little different and you're kind of something like chills in your backbone or whatever, it's the Holy Spirit telling you, this is your day. This is your time to come to the Lord. This is your time to join the family of God and to let the Holy Spirit rebirth you, a new you inside of you. Not just the same person that you saw in the mirror this morning, but a new you that would be inside of you. I ask you this morning, are you ready for an outpouring? I ask you as a church fellowship of our membership today, are you ready for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Are you ready for God to answer those intercessory prayers and make a change in our congregation? The men from China said, "I've never seen anything like it." Said, "We'd never see this in China. Different races, different cultures, all in one place. People loving each other, fellowship with each other. I've never seen anything like it. I'm going to take this back to China," he said. Are you ready for what difference, appearance that would take place as God moves in to this congregation in a new and fresh way. Are you ready to say, yes, Lord, whatever? Whatever, Lord. Joel 2:28 says that it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my maidservants and my men servants, I will what? Pour out. Pour out. Not just a dab, but not pouring. Where that you smell different. You look different. You've got power in your life. You're ready to go out and to be that minister of the Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It says, the yoke shall be destroyed by the anointing. Isaiah 10:27. The yoke. Maybe you're here today and there's a bondage in your life. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's temptation you can't seem to get rid of. That it just keeps coming back and getting closer and closer to pulling you all the way down. It's a yoke that is on you. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. His yoke will break the anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will break the yoke of bondage. It will set you free by the Spirit of God. Will you receive the word that's been given to you today? Precious Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's the